This is the Byron Bledsoe Podcast, Senior Pastor of C3 Church in Orlando, Florida. Thank you so much for checking out today's message. We hope this word encourages you and inspires you. Let's jump into the message.
Christmas has many ingredients. There are many things that make this season, many things that we hold as special, and one of them is simply gifts. Now, some of you have perfected receiving gifts, like you're really good at it. You've got that down. But there are some of you that actually explode with excitement over giving. Gifts are just a central part of the Christmas story, and rightly so, because what we've come to celebrate is the greatest gift that's ever been given, where God gave His Son, the gift of a Savior. What makes possible God being able to invite us to call Him Father? We read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 1, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi, some of your translations will say wise men, from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where's the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw His star when it rose and have come to worship Him." One of the things that's so easy to forget or even neglect as we think about the Christmas story is that when Jesus was born, He came into a dark, hurting, oppressive world. A time of great conflict, a time of very little peace. And in the midst of that darkness, His light permeated the darkness. Light has always been able to defeat darkness. No matter the thickness of the darkness, the smallest light has always been able to pierce darkness. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped Him. Then they opened their treasures and presented Him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They understood both the value of what they were bringing and the value of the person they were bringing the gifts to. And when we don't understand the true meaning of Christmas, we can make it pretty, but the pretty will be very shallow. And when we don't understand the meaning of Christmas, the pretty doesn't last beyond the season. When the decorations come down and the lights get put up, the feeling of hope will evaporate from your home and your life if you don't understand the true meaning of Christmas. And these wise men had a wise perspective. They understood that Jesus is worth bringing gifts to, and Jesus is worth being in the presence of, and Jesus is worth doing whatever it takes and however long it takes to get to Him. The faith of the wise has never been limited to what's convenient, but gifts. And we see different kinds of gifts in this Christmas season. For some of you, you notice the gifts that are wrapped perfectly. They are flawless with where the bow is placed and the colors, and the creases are all exactly right. And you notice these gifts. They are beautiful to look at. They're usually outside of department stores or outside of our homes. However, they're only for display. They're only for decoration. They are pretty on the outside, but empty on the inside. Well-wrapped emptiness. There's another gift. Another gift we notice at Christmas. We notice the small boxes. When I was a kid, I hated the small boxes. But the longer you live, the more you begin to understand that often the best gifts come in the smallest boxes. It doesn't take a large box for a ring. It doesn't take a big box for tickets to the destination of your dreams. Small boxes can often be the best. And then occasionally, every now and then, we see the mystery gifts. When you look at this box, you have no idea what's in it. You just can't tell. These are the gifts, the kinds of gifts we receive or we look at in this season. But these are also the kinds of gifts we've brought to this gathering. Because not only do we receive, we give. And as we celebrate the birth of a Savior, it's Christmas. What have you brought? Are you well-wrapped emptiness? You look great. Everything's in place. Everybody you came with looks great. Your family looks great. On the surface, your home looks great. And no one would ever be able to guess that deep inside, you're filled with a unique pain of emptiness. Or perhaps what you've brought is small, because your life feels small right now. You don't have much to offer. Your life isn't perfect. You feel unable and unworthy. But I wonder, could you have failed to recognize how big your small is? Ashley, one of our daughters, gave us this years ago. In fact, all over our home, she made this. You can't see, you're far away, but up close you could. She made this when she was a kid. And all over our home, we have different things that our kids have made and given us from when they were little and as they got even a little bit older. And what I will tell you is that if you were to look at this closely, there are some scratches on it, there are some chips taken out of it, there's some dings and dents because we've moved several times. And when it comes to moving or packing, I'm not a patient man. In fact, I'd rather take a beating 7 days a week than move. But we've moved many times, and if you were to look at this, if you were to find this in a store on a shelf, you would not pay a lot for this. But what I need you to know is this is one of the most precious things in our home. In fact, this and the other things that we've been given by our kids are more valuable, far more valuable than the most expensive piece of furniture or the most expensive painting in our home. It is these, because they're from our kids. So if you walked in this room thinking that all you have to offer in your life is too small, too insignificant, not very valuable, please understand that the God who invites you to call him Father, to him, what you offer him when you offer you or something from you is the most valuable thing to him. Don't ever underestimate the power of the love of God for you. Or maybe what you've brought, you have no idea what's inside, because you have no idea what your life should look like, what your life could look like. You wish you could figure it out, but purpose seems to elude you. You're not sure what you have to offer, because you're not sure who you are. You're still trying to figure out life and the meaning of it and why you're here. There are different gifts we receive and different gifts we bring. In that first Christmas, the wise men gave gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But notice verse 15. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see. Let's go and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they'd been told about this child. Shepherds who were outcast, shepherds who had no value in that culture or society, shepherds who were not even allowed to go to church because of how they were viewed by culture. This is who God makes the announcement to through the angels and the shepherds. They gave the gift of pursuing and sharing. They had to get to the Christ child to see what God had done. And then they couldn't stay quiet about it because it was too good to keep to themselves. The wise men, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The shepherds, the gift of pursuing and sharing. Mary gave the gift of her womb. The innkeeper gave the gift of a place. But there is one more gift. And at a glance, it doesn't seem like a gift at all. But notice with me Luke chapter 2, verse 13. Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts, angels, appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace." to those on whom His favor rests. Peace. The thing that I believe we want more than anything else. You chase money because you want peace. You jump into relationships because you want peace. And the angels, they give a gift that they've continued to give through the ages. The gift of worship. The exact same gift that you brought with you into this room today. The angels have done it for centuries. For over 2,000 years and even before that. They worship God. This is actually the gift that keeps on giving. And when you and I give ourselves to God in worship, that word means to assign worth, worthship. It's worth, it's value. It's assigning worth to God, the worth that He deserves. He takes priority over everyone and everything else, and that's what you decided this morning. You could have been anywhere, but you came to a gathering of worship to celebrate the birth of a Savior. Psalm 22, verse 3 tells us that God is enthroned in the praises of His people. And that word enthroned, it literally means He inhabits, He lives in, He resides in, He abides in our praises. And so the Scripture teaches the more you and I praise God, the more He gets inside you, and the more His perspective will begin to invade your circumstances. Praise. It's what we've done as we were singing. Praise is a part of worship. Praise is a part of worship, but it's not all of worship. Praise has a sound. Worship has an aroma. And today, you can smell it. It's in the air. The aroma of worship. The scent of hope. The fragrance of meaning and purpose. The smell of forgiveness. The aroma of peace. These are more than just thoughts we have or feelings we chase. These have an aroma about them. And when you and I worship, not just today, but as we wrap up 2023 and we move into 2024, your life will have an aroma. You will carry with you a fragrance. For some of you, the fragrance that the people that love you the most often smell is anxiety. For some of you, your scent is resentment. You have a fragrance, and I wonder, what would change if the scent of your life and the smell of your home was peace? Luke's Gospel chapter 2 says, "Glory to God in the highest," as the angels are praising, "on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." This peace is not something that just fills every person because we want it. Peace among those with whom He is pleased. It's not what you bring Him. It's that you bring Him you. It's not what's in your hands. It's what's in your heart. He just wants you. And some of you, you're in this room because it's Christmas. Somebody invited you, or you're walking through something in life and you thought, I need to go to a Christmas service. You want to finish the year well as much as you can and set up your life for the next year to be all that it can. And you have a hope, and for some of you, it's a fading hope. It's a small hope. It's barely there, but there is this hope, at least this desire that somehow next year can be better. That somehow your life can turn and change and improve. And God wants you to know that when you bring Him you, you assign worth to God in your life. And that is true worship. And the Bible says that God is pleased. And when that happens, notice, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Peace becomes your aroma. Purpose becomes your fragrance. And hope, authentic, foundational hope, will invade your life. And what God puts there, nothing can erase. Would you pray with me this morning? Perhaps you're here today, and the greatest need of your life in this Christmas season, as we celebrate a story that is old, nothing new about it, and have a moment that can either fade or create a momentum of the Spirit of God moving in your life, a momentum of peace. If you've never invited Jesus to come into your life, I want to give you an opportunity with heads bowed and eyes closed to pray a very simple prayer. And as you pray this prayer, what you're doing is you're asking God for his forgiveness. You're securing a home in heaven after this life. And this gift of eternal life, God will place his Spirit in your life to walk with you on the good days and the bad days. You will walk out of this room and into 2024 with a fragrance, an aroma. It can be what it's been, or it can be peace. The peace of knowing God in a personal way and knowing that you're his. And if you'd like to experience that, I want to invite you to pray a very simple prayer. You can pray it out loud, or you can pray it in the quietness of your heart. Just pray this prayer. Dear God, I need you. Jesus, please come into my life. Forgive my sin. And help me to live for you as best I know how. I commit my life to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us. If you just prayed that prayer, we would love to know it. You can text your name to 407-487-8311, and Pastor Byron will be praying for you this week. And also, we want to thank you for your faithful generosity. You can go to giveC3.cc, or you can text C3 Orlando to 77977. Thank you so much for how you give. And if you are in Central Florida, please join us in person at our campus at 9:30 or 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings. Have a great week.